You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Zach Gelb for Scotty Farrell right here on CBS Sports Radio talking NBA draft. We'll head out to the hotline right now. Welcome in one of my all-time favorite guests. He is the former head coach at Long Beach State, South Florida, and also Virginia Tech. Now you see him all the time on your television for ESPN talking college hoops and even some NBA as well. And that's the very talented Seth Greenberg, kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Seth, what's going on, my man?
Big fella, what's going on? How is life?
Life is great, and a happy belated Father's Day to you. And I was actually concerned about you last weekend because I saw a video circulate. You golfing at a bunch of bears appeared out of nowhere. What was going on with the bears?
Yeah, they wanted to play through, and I acquiesced. The bears were on the way to Jonesy's, the little halfway house at the golf course, and I thought they were hungry. And thank goodness they went for Jonesy's for a dog and not for me.
If you had food in the bag, would you have fed them?
I would have not. I would have left it and gotten a cart and gotten out of there because there was a cub behind a mama bear.
Oh, that's not good.
Don't mess with that. Yeah, not good. But they were just moseying along, having a good time. It was, you know, if they could talk, they're probably going dum 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 dum. But
if they could talk, what would your recruiting pitch be to get the mama bear away from you guys?
You know what? Your cub probably doesn't want to play for me. I'm going to coach him too hard.
You got it. Probably the easiest recruiting pitch you've ever done. Seth Greenberg here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's get to the draft. Zion Williamson, I got a chance to spend some time with him today. Outstanding kid. You hear about him and you know everything about him with the way that he plays on the court. Give me your entire scouting report, and is there no doubt in your mind that he's going to be a great NBA player?
Yeah, the word great, again, you know, like Jordan was great. Julius Erving was great. You know me and the word great. I don't just throw it around. I think he's going to be terrific, and he has a chance to be great. But I, you know, you earn greatness. You don't get. It's not something that, you know, is given to you. The thing that makes him different, and you know, everyone talks about his jumping and his dunking, and all those things are great. But to me, what makes him different is how hard he plays. The guy doesn't take a playoff. He has the ability to compete the whole possession. I remember the game we were doing at Virginia. He helped on a baseline drive. They skipped it out the other side. And it was like he was shot out of a cannon and contested the shot. If the ball's on the ground, he's going to be first to the floor. He's going to be hard to screen. He is really skilled. He puts it on the floor better than people realize. He's got to be able to shoot it off the bounce some. And he's got to be able to stretch out when he's not dunking it and finish around the basket. But it's his competitive spirit and the type of teammate he is, and the energy and the enthusiasm and the charisma that he plays with that really makes him interesting.
And you saw that competitive spirit on the biggest stage when he blew right through that shoe, and many people with his background and what his future would be would probably sit out. You could tell he really loved playing college basketball, though, because, you know, when I was talking to him today, he said it was the best year of his life.
Yeah, I mean, and even just the thought of people saying, well, you know, he should shut it down. And look, I love my guy, Jay Will, and he's the best. He's like, you know, we're connected at the hip. But
half-court machine, you know, too.
But that's not who he is. The kid loves the game. He loved his teammates. He loved his experience at Duke. And he wanted to – he was going to play. And, you know, there is a value. Coming into this year, some people had him as low as seventh pick in the draft. He'll make $100 million on a shoe contract. So when everyone says, like, you know, the guys go to college, what are they doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're spending 7 months, and they're allowing us to brand them and put them on television. And I said all the time, the one thing about ESPN is, you know, you got 6 o'clock Sports Center, you got the 11 o'clock Sports Center. And we do those promos. And usually on the promos, you know, it's LeBron, you know, it's Tiger Woods, you know, it's Aaron Judge. Well, you know what? For 7 months, it was a picture of Zion Williamson and something about him. And we did what we did during the course of the season is he helped us, we helped him. Our ratings were great, but, you know, we also made him to the point where, you know, we helped him build his brand. And it was a win-win.
With all that attention on Zion, do you think people are forgetting how good R.J. Barrett was, you know, spoken of before the year started? What do you think his ceiling is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, That is an issue. I mean, and let's face it, RJ Barrett had a crazy year with incredible numbers as an 18-year-old. Now, RJ Barrett is a poor man's DeMar DeRozan. He's a slashing, attacking, aggressive, left-handed player that can get to the rim. He's not James Harden. He doesn't have the ball skills of James Harden. He's more of a straight-line, downhill driver. He's extremely competitive, and he's a scorer. You know, he's more of a scorer than just a shooter, and he's got a toughness about him. And, you know, I think he's going to be a very good pro because I think right from day one he will be able to score it because that's kind of the way he's wired.
If they do go 1-3, with Zion going 1 and then R.J. Barrett going 3, which everyone projects it to be, speak to those situations that they're walking into because the Pelicans, they just got Ball and Ingram. They have the fourth pick from the trade with the Lakers. And then the Knicks, we're still trying to figure out what they're going to be, have some young pieces in Knox and Robinson, but the optimism that was there a few weeks ago with free agency isn't there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Zion's situation, right, he's in a great situation. He's with like-type guys in terms of younger players. I think they need to bring in a veteran player for their locker room to help teach these young kids how to be pros. I mean, Holiday is going to be a very good player. You got Lonzo, you got Josh Hart, who's, you know, solid as a rock. You know, you've got Ingram, who, you know, is still an if to me. He's been a little disappointing because he just hasn't matured in the manner in which I expected him to mature. It would have been great for them to keep Julius Randle because, to me, if you have Julius Randle and Zion, you have a great small ball lineup with Ingram and, you know, Lonzo Ball and Holiday. That would be a really, really good small ball lineup. But yeah, I mean, I think that we're seeing New Orleans, they're going to get a veteran player. They're going to, you know, they might move that draft choice for a veteran player and a player later in the draft, or they might, you know, keep it. But that's going to be an exciting young team. The Knicks, on the other hand, they're a long way from where they need to be. And I like Fitzdale, and I like Mills, and I like all those guys. But, you know, they put so many eggs in the, you know, the Kyrie basket and the KD basket. You know, they did a good job of creating the propaganda needed to kind of create the scenario that, you know, people thought they had those guys already. And I'm not sure it's going to be that way. Darius Garland, the talk of Darius Garland instead of RJ Barrett was a little confusing. But I think Garland's a terrific player. But if you really believe in Dennis Smith, if you really believe in him, then you can't have 1 foot in and 1 foot out with a guy like Dennis Smith, because the second he loses confidence, you'll see what happened to him, like what happened to him in Dallas. So the Knicks are, yeah, they've got young pieces, but they don't have anyone that you can really get excited about, except to me. I think Knox has a chance to be really special.
Seth Greenberg here with us on CBS Sports Radio. So with all the talk of Zion 1 and Barrett 3, let's get to who's expected to be sandwiched in the middle there at 2, and that's Ja Morant. We've been on this story for a while. What a story it is with Zion and Ja Morant playing briefly on AAU, and then Matt McMahon's coaching staff was out, and they were going to get a bag of chips, and one of the assistant coaches then found Ja Morant on the basketball coach. What a rise this has been.
Yeah, I actually did two of Ja's games. I did his first nationally televised game and did a special on him. He's the Patrick Mahomes of college basketball, and he'll be the similar type player in the NBA. He's got incredible vision and creativity. He's got a second speed. He obviously can elevate. Off the court, he's just one of the guys. On the court, his total personality changes. He's not a good kid. He's a great kid. Humble, hungry, hardworking, genuine, just a terrific young guy. I got to know his family really well, and I'm just so happy for them because they really are genuine people. And he is a very, very special player. And it's exciting. His vision is incredible. His ability to make plays in transition. He sees plays develop and put the ball like a quarterback in a place where guys can catch it. I've seen very few players that can pass it off the dribble with one hand or change angles of his release point in passing like he can. It's really, really special.
But with the Mahomes comparison that you threw out there, Mahomes had to wait a year, and then he came onto the scene, got his first shot, and then MVP. Will he be that explosive right away, Morant?
Yeah, because you know how Mahomes like releases the ball at different angles as he passes? That's kind of what Ja does. Like, Ja will take it off right off the dribble, and he creates these different angled passes and windows to pass the basketball and makes just incredible scoring passes. Extremely creative, but because of the different angles he releases the ball, that's the Patrick Mahomes comparison.
Just talking to Seth Greenberg a few more with the great analysts on ESPN, also former college basketball coach. So do you agree that it's Zion, Morant, and then Barrett, 1, 2, 3, in terms of best players in this draft?
Yes, without a doubt. And then after that, I think there's a second tier.
Like, who are your next three?
I do like Darius Garland. I really like Kobe White, and I like DeAndre Hunter. I mean, those are the three that jump out at me. Kobe White, I think his strength, his physicality, his speed, he's going to be a chance to be a lockdown defender who can change ends offensively and get to the rim and attack. DeAndre Hunter is a typical of the Virginia high basketball IQ, the Malcolm Brogdon. Don't tell me what he can't do. I know what he can do. He can win, and he makes plays. He's not a good defender, a great defender. And then Darius Garland, I had him in the Eurocamp in Italy, and he's really a special player. Very good off ball screens, really good range, very good passer, very mature for his age. I have those guys above Culver, and I have kind of Culver in that next group. And then you've got the guys that, you know, the ifs. You know, Nasir Little has a chance, but he's very young and he's inexperienced. I wouldn't call him an if. I'm just saying he's not there yet. Jackson Hayes, who's got incredible potential. Like, you know, to me, I could see as a possibility a situation New Orleans moving that 4 pick if they knew they could get Jackson Hayes at 8 or 10, if they could get one of those and get a player. I could see that because, I mean, Jackson Hayes has a chance to be not offensively, but an Anthony Davis type defensive player. And the Sears got a chance to be a poor man's Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, P.J. Washington to me has a guy a chance to be kind of a poor man's Draymond Green. Rui Hachimura to me is a guy that's underrated. So Kamigawa is a guy that's way underrated to me. So there's some depth in the draft. But, you know, to me, a lot of it comes after, you know, early in the draft comes down to fit.
Where do you throw Cam Reddish into that conversation?
I am not on the Cam Reddish train. I'm not. I think he could be a very good defender. Yeah, everyone tells me he's a great shooter, but I've never seen him be a great shooter. Like, when a guy shoots 33%, that's who he is. I don't like his feel overall for the game. I do like him as a kid, and I do think we got to understand he was 18 years old this past year. And he's got incredible upside, but I don't see him as a guy that can help you win. How many times did you see him drive it and just run someone over? He had good games, but how many times did you see him just disappear from games? Can he bring it over 82 games? You know, how will he deal with greater adversity? I'm just not as high on him as maybe some others.
And then last one for Seth Greenberg. Give me some names at the end of the first round or early second round, maybe some guys that aren't on as many people's radar, but you're really starting to maybe fall a little bit in love with for the future.
Well, Carson Edwards, I don't get it. I mean, like, you know, a lot of
tremendous
people
tournament.
Edwards.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, look, he makes buckets. It's a league of shot making. I think that, you know, he's undervalued. I think Cam Johnson's undervalued. I just think he's better than people realize. I think Cam Johnson is a shot maker. You put him in the corner, he's gonna make open threes. He's healthy. He's better. You know, he's better than he was. I think he's got a chance to be a good player. Brandon Clark, you know, some people have him in the 20s. He's a run and jump and dude that can block shots and plays really, really hard. I like his game a lot. I don't know where people have Capengelly from Florida State, but think about this. That guy was willing. And the NBA is a league of great players, some, and role players. He was willing to come off the bench the whole season, all right, play 20 minutes a game, and yet, you know, he's a first-round draft choice. So for a guy to go into the league, have maturity, and understand, look, this is what coaches want me to do, this is who I am, this is how I can help our team win, I think he's going to be really, really good. I think he's going to be an excellent NBA player.
Seth, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it as always. I'll talk to you down the road.
You're my guy. No problem, Zach. Appreciate you, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.